Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name's Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five. Brenda and I are raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, where we homeschool our children. And I have been involved in the homeschooling movement for 9 to 40 years when my parents began to homeschool me back in the 1960s. Well, presently, we're homeschooling our own children, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. And indeed, we are seeing the breakdown of the family, of the faith, of freedom. We think that home education may do some positive things to renew what we would call truth and relationships to a lost and lonely world. Man is lost without truth and lonely without relationships. That's the problem, synopsized by men like Francis Schaeffer and other Christian philosophers who worked a great deal on these problems. And we believe one of the best solutions is homeschooling, where we renew relationships in a home, not an institution, not a classroom where you have 45 students sitting there in front of a teacher. No, in a warm relational environment where the teacher is a mother and a father, where there's hugs and kisses all day long, where there's a relationship going on, and that relationship enables us to teach our children truth at the same time, and we call that discipleship. Friends, that's the vision that we've gotten through the home education movement that we believe is bringing a very strong sense of biblical worldview truth into the lost and lonely world, and a strong sense of human relationships, reordering those father-son, mother-child relationships in a world where we've got preschool, daycare, and soon to have automated wombs where children will be raised in synthetic wombs and not in the womb of their real mother, and in a family made up of a mother and a father. And of course, that's the direction that modern society is heading, but we're saying, no, let's restore relationships. Restore it. Find radical ways to restore truth and relationships. I'm talking radical. I'm talking real radical, such as, well, home education. One of the reasons why we home educate is for social reasons. We believe that socialization within the public schools are lousy. Dave, you remember back in the 1980s and 1990s, people used to argue against home education because those home educated students are so badly socialized. What about socialization? That was the big question for years and years. Well, here's a story from Placerville, California. The local CBS channel covered a story where parents of Placer County students are now buying discounted drug tests from high schools, and they're doing it because Placerville school district, the high school found that half of the students use marijuana. Half of the students, 50%.
How many of the teachers and administrators?
I don't know. It doesn't say. It doesn't say how many of the teachers and administrators, but they're offering a test that will check for meth and cocaine, marijuana, ecstasy, and other drugs. And they're offering it for $10. It is normally $40. Actually, a friend of mine who works for the rescue mission in Grants Pass, Oregon, said he pays $8.25. So you're getting ripped off. The parents, if you're buying these drug tests for the local high school in Placerville, California. But Dave, you know, 50%, that's a lot of students. If 50% of the students at a local high school in Placerville, California using drugs, that's not a good sign. And the turkey principle is important. It's really hard to fly like eagles when the people you hang with are turkeys. That principle is important because you send your kid to a high school where 50% of these kids are on drugs. Academically, you know they're not going to be quite where they need to be. In terms of character, you know that the student body is not going to be quite where they need to be. And if you send your children into that environment in which they will socialize in that environment, chances are they're going to be somewhat like the environment in which they are raised, in which they're educated, in which they socialize.
Well, of course they are, Kevin. I mean, you can't swim in the water without getting wet. And when you send your children into an environment like that, the environment's going to affect them much more than they're going to be able to affect the environment. And so I think when you send your child into a public school, one that has a huge drug problem like that, the best you could hope for is that they might drop out.
Yeah. Socialization, friends. Again, I was talking to a family over the weekend in Washington State, and I asked them why they homeschooled. They started with public school and private school. They came to the conclusion the reason that they wanted to homeschool was for social reasons. They began to see what was going on with their children and saw that it was an unsavory social situation, and they really wanted to reconstruct the social situation in which their children were being raised. They wanted their children raised in a family with siblings, in a situation where the parent was in control of the environment in which they were being raised. And that, Dave, I think is the significant difference between the home school and the public school. I think it's a social issue, and the social issue is bigger than the academic issue.
Well, if you're talking about how children are discipled and what they're going to become, that has everything to do with how they're going to interact with other members of society. Yeah, having some intellectual, some propositions and some cognitive processes are important, but what's more important is how are they going to love their spouse and their children? How are they going to interact with others? And if that's what we mean by social, then yes. And that's why the scriptures are so replete with examples of how to love one another, how to treat brothers, the one another's. Much more so than they are about all the things you have to memorize and all the math problems you have to do.
Here's an experiment that you ought to try sometime, folks. Put two children, 2 years old, in a room for 2 minutes with one toy. Just try it. And move the parents out. You got to be behind the window. And you watch what happens if you put two little two-year-olds in a room for 2 minutes with one toy. Okay? Just give it a shot and take a look at what happens. Now, what's missing in this picture? The obvious answer, well, the second toy perhaps, but even that, you have two toys, two kids in one room for 2 minutes, you're going to have a big squabble going. The fact of the matter is, friends, you need a parent to organize things, to supervise things. If a parent's not there to make sure these children are learning how to interact socially in a proper manner, it ain't going to happen. Now, here's another experiment. Put 140 kids like that into a playground for 2 hours at a time, 45 minutes at a time. Try that sometime. Or here's another experiment. Put 32 in a classroom with one teacher for, well, 6 hours a day. Try it sometime. You're going to find that, for the most part, children are not being taught to properly socialize. You see, proper socialization is not the access to drugs, illicit sexual experiences, and such that are available to their peers in your average school in America. Okay, that's not my definition of socialization. Proper socialization is teaching a child to interact relationally with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Okay, that would be my definition of socialization. Dave, what we're after is a meek and humble young people who live in the fear of God all day long. And we need to be addressing ourselves to their character as they interact with God, number one, in the fear of God, and number two, how they interact with the others in humility, in love, in self-sacrifice. And from my experience, Dave, that has not come naturally for any one of my five children. I'm just thinking through it right now. Okay, no. I have not been
able to train. Well, yeah, not your children.
Okay. But you've got five, too.
Well, not mine either.
Okay, so sample size 10.
Yeah, sample my size children 10 have not this working. Problem. My children have an excuse.
And what would that be?
They got sin. They caught it from their dad.
Oh, yeah, that. Okay, folks, we're going to talk a little bit more about socialization in just a moment. And we're going to be breakdancing in a minefield. And we're going to talk about Miss America in just a moment. Stay with me. Maybe you've heard of home education. For the last 25 years, families have been bringing education home as they integrated education back into the family. Now this is spawning a new movement, and it's called family-based economics. Could this movement salvage the family? Could it save an economy or produce a sustainable agriculture? You know, when the debt-based economic systems fail, when the family fails, when the non-sustainable agricultural systems fail, what are you going to do? It's time to get a vision for biblical family-based economics now. The wise man builds his systems on the rock. Now the foolish men didn't, and now look at what's happening. We're taking the 2011 Family Economics Conference to North Carolina on March 11th and 12th, 2011. Invited speakers include Doug Phillips from Vision Forum, Eric Weir from Weir Capital Investments, Scott Brown, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. We're talking about how you will prepare your children for the future without brick-and-mortar colleges. We're talking about mentorships, contractualization, networking into the changing economies, family dynamics in the integrated economy, family inheritance, bootstrapping entrepreneurism, sustainable family economic systems, and family health care options that avoid socialist medical systems. Folks, almost every developed nation today reports social and economic decline on the macro scale. But we believe that our families can thrive in the midst of it all. We can build gardens in the ashes. For more information, you need to check out conference2011.com now. That's conference2011.com. Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, Kevin Swanson here with you, homeschooled and badly socialized as a child. And that explains some of the antics that you see on the radio program or the television program broadcast on AFA. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to do our best to offend everybody in our listening audience. And Dave, as we talk about socialization and the involvement of the homeschooler in society, there becomes some real controversial issues. And one of the controversial issues comes up with Teresa Scanlon, who, by the way, was Miss Nebraska, homeschooled, and she's 17 years old, planning to go to Patrick Henry College to major in pre-law. She wants to be a lawyer, and she has just won the Miss America pageant as of the previous weekend. And this is very interesting, Dave. Number one, because we're coming out of our discussion on socialization, and there are a lot of people who can't believe that a homeschooler would ever succeed in society at any level. Now, whether or not this is success, we'll deal with that in a moment. But the people can't believe that homeschoolers can do anything but walk around with high-waisted pants and pocket protectors, picking their nose and having a hard time relating with other people in society. Isn't that the impression of some people concerning homeschoolers?
I don't know. I mean, they seem they're either psychotic or go out and win all the spelling bees. I think it's one or the other.
Yeah.
Or maybe some people think that you can win a spelling bee and then go on a shooting rampage.
Yeah, exactly. They win the spelling bee, they're geeky. But if they're homeschooled, they're going to be strange. And that's, I think, what a lot of people think about home-educated students. Now, I was student body president of a major West Coast university at 19, 20 years of age, homeschooled as a child, one of the very first homeschool graduates. In Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, a student body president at 20, 21 years of age in 1986, I believe it was. And this was odd. I think people did not understand that homeschoolers were allowed to get involved in society. And it's true that I think we can make an impact on our society around us, but there is a degree of separatism involved in homeschooling. I think that's the issue, the thing that bothers some people. That we do separate from our society. And Dave, there is a role for separation. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be ye holy as I am holy. Holiness is important. Separation is important. We're not to be like the world. At least the world that is consumed with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we want to distinguish two worlds here. God so loved the world, there's a world of dirt, a world of institutions, of politics, of government, of families, of businesses, of systems. Even entertainment, we can throw in that. There's that world, and that's legitimate. Christians can interact in that world. We're allowed to do stuff in that world, but we're not to give way to the other world, and that is the world of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Dave, a very important distinction there.
There is a very important distinction. You know, holiness, of course, has two components. One is its separation, as you've said. It's something that is set aside for a purpose, and the purpose of being holy in this case is to give God glory, particularly as his children. The other is to be morally or ethically without spot, that is to be pure. And so we want to raise a standard of holiness, and as you're talking about socialization, the idea of using the word socialization seems to indicate, Kevin, that the goal is social. I really think when we raise our children, we ought to be thinking about holiness. We ought to be trying to make our children holy, that is morally pure and someone that glorifies God. Now, that will happen, of course, in their social relationships. But primarily, what we want when we raise our children is their place in the kingdom of God be firmly established. And so I think holiness is, in fact, the goal that Christian parents ought to have for their children.
You know, Dave, this whole issue came up, was it last year or 2 years ago? I can't remember exactly when it was, but when Carrie Prejean came out and opposed, in the Miss America contest, opposed homosexual marriage. You remember the whole thing? She was disqualified, and I think she was a runner-up or something, and she was disqualified, and there was a big hoo-ha about it. There was a book that was written. I actually got a copy or two of the book, and we commented on that 2 or 3 years ago. Well, now again, we've got a very interesting story where you've got a 17-year-old homeschooler from Nebraska who took the Miss America pageant this last weekend. And Dave, here's another little tidbit. My friend Calvin Jones has written a lot of great music. He's a pianist of some renown across the United States, and he wrote the music that Teresa Scanlon played at the Miss America pageant. In fact, she came out to Colorado to work with Calvin Jones to prepare this little piece that she was going to play for the pageant. So just a little piece of information there. But, you know, again, here we've got a lady that won this contest. And we go into Scripture and we wonder sometimes whether the pageant is really a scriptural idea. And I think we commented on this, didn't we,
when Carrie Prejean won, and we have perhaps a few issues with women going on display and displaying their physical charms and going after or raising a standard of independence. But we do have to say that in this case, this young lady is a professed Christian. She's writing about God, about giving Him glory. She on her blog page closes it out with "To God be the glory."
And we would agree with that.
You wonder if God is not using some very unusual means in this case.
Well, there was a very unusual story in Scripture, and I'm sure this is appealed to by those who would support something like this. And it is interesting, Dave, that HSLDA didn't really refer to Teresa Scanlon winning this pageant on their blog or on their webpage as of yet. And I sort of understand that. I understand that within the homeschooling population, my guess is you're not going to have a unity of thought concerning this.
Well,
just a guess.
I think we could say that HSLDA has shown a little better judgment about not breakdancing in the minefield.
Yeah, okay. You know? But the Generations Boys,
here we are, sharp.
Breakdancing in the minefield today. But bringing in scriptural principle. And again, Dave, I think if there's anything we want people to get out of this message today is that the standards of righteousness, and we are to be righteous, we are to be holy, we're to be separate in the world, the standards of righteousness have got to be set by the Word of God. If we can get people to agree on that, I think we're at least the first base. Now, the second thing is there is an example of a highly unusual pageant that occurred in the book of Esther. And yet, this is not the sort of pageant that you see in the present day, because the pageant in Persia, we'll call it the Persia pageant, asked the question, who would make the best wife for the king? So that was the contest. The contest is who will make the best wife for the king. And I think perhaps we ought to have a contest. Who would make the best Proverbs 31 woman or the best Titus 2 wife? We could perhaps have contests like this. What you find with these contests is I'm not sure that these beauty contests are intended to find out who would make the best helpmeet for the king or for anybody else. I'm not even sure they mentioned the qualities it would take to make a good wife for a king, for a Christian man, for whoever.
Well, Kevin, I gotta first say I didn't watch the pageant.
I haven't
but
either,
my,
by the
my
way.
My experience
I'm just asking.
Is they get them up there and they say, you know, what do you hope to achieve? And they say something like world peace and feed all the hungry and bring more peace and love into the world.
Which, by the way, I'm not against.
No.
I'm not against any of that.
I'm not against that. We're for feeding the hungry. We're for peace.
Yep.
We're for love.
Yep.
But in my experience, I've never heard a woman in the interview section say something like, well, I really hope to find a godly man that I can help fulfill his vision for a family in service of God. I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah, it seems to emphasize the externals. I mean, I think the externals seem to be a big deal for the world. Now, we've got to be careful here. We're not just trying to say Teresa Scanlon and Carrie Prejean are just the externalistic, but that seems to be the focus of pageants in the world around us. That seems to be more that than the meek and quiet spirit, modesty, decency, propriety that is recommended in 1 Peter chapter 2 or 1 Timothy chapter 2.
They
for
are
example.
Called beauty contests, not character contests.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. Yeah. And so it seems like the focus is more beauty than perhaps character. And some of these contests may be a little more feministic, encouraging the independent mindset among women. I'm not sure. Again, I'm not sure about this. But I'm just guessing that some of these pageants will emphasize the independent spirit rather than the idea of a husband and a wife coming together, the wife being the helpmeet, the husband being the dominion taker, together seeking God's will for that family's life, developing a family-based economy, and that woman being an oikos despoteo, a manager of that home, and a good help that is meet for her husband.
Now, Kevin, see, if we were to design the contest, I think we would have the women coming alongside their father, would be protecting them, would be with them all the time on stage. And they would actually ask the father things about the woman's character, like, is she a good cook? Is she strong? Is she helpful? What kind of character does she have? Could you depend on her to buy and sell? Is she kind of a skits when it comes to accounting? That would be our kind of contest.
And I think a father would be somewhat interested in her his daughter's modesty. Somewhat interested in his daughter's modesty for several reasons. One is, Dave, you got to protect your daughters somewhat, don't you? I mean, there are men out there that perhaps would want to defile your daughter. I've heard about these men.
That's why the father would be there, okay, you know, with his daughter on one arm, and perhaps he would pull back his sport coat a little bit and reveal a revolver, and says, "This is my daughter. I'm really proud of her.
Sure.
She's a wonderful girl, and if you would like to become her husband, come see me."
Okay.
You know, don't go to her. Come to me. And that would be
on
our
the
kind
Generations
of
Radio broadcast. Dave's Pageant. Okay, Dave, I don't know how this is all going to work out. But as you see, as you walk through the Word of God, you know, the Bible does recommend strong character. And I have to say that this Teresa Scanlon does appear to represent a fair, decent amount of character in her life, at least on her blog. We don't know a whole lot about her, and we're hoping all things here. As we see these homeschoolers, I think that the homeschooling market is producing women and men of some strong character. And, Dave, I think it does take some measure of character to win any kind of contest.
Well, of course
like
it does.
Like this. I mean, she had to learn to play the piano. She had to learn to speak and to speak well. She obviously has worked very hard, and I'm sure her parents have worked on her character as she has learned what she's learned and as she's become a fairly good rhetorician and can communicate fairly adequately. And yet, folks, again, as we look through Scripture, I think we're going to see that Scripture would recommend perhaps the modesty, decency, and propriety contest, or the meek and quiet spirit contest. But, Dave, you know, if you did a meek and quiet spirit contest, you know, I mean, what are you going to say? I won the most humble person in the world contest. You know, that's really hard to say that, you know. It'd be hard to really, you know, celebrate that. Or how about the good works contest, the righteousness contest? You know, if there were contests about who did the most good works or who was the most righteous or had the strongest character, you know, you'd wonder if you were creating a bunch of self-righteous jerks or people just become too egotistical about the number of righteous works that they've accomplished. You know, that's what makes me a little nervous about it.
Kevin, what part of the problem is you have a contest with winners and runner-ups. And so you have somebody who is number one. Now, it's hard to say they're going to be the most humble when they're vying for number one. You know, really, if you wanted to have the meek and humble, you're looking for the person who wanted to come in last in order to serve the others. And what kind of contest is that?
Yeah. Probably wouldn't get too many good ratings on ABC.
But you have a point here, though, Kevin, and it's a good point, that the girls who do compete in these pageants, it is a lot of preparation work. They don't just show up and smile and do the parade wave, and that's the end of it. There is a lot of work that goes into it. Certainly, it appears that there was much practice and rehearsal and musical ability and other things and trying to create a presentation in order that, and this is what my hope is, that she might be able to stand up for the crown rights of Christ in this role. In other words, she had to go into this contest with the idea that she could be disqualified at any moment and had to be bold enough to represent Christ and careful enough that she gets the opportunity.
God bless Teresa Scanlon. You know, Dave, I hope and pray that she will give her life up for Jesus and she will find herself perhaps in a position of some influence, but hopefully in the process be willing to sacrifice her reputation, her life for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, recently there's an interesting story about the governor in Alabama who was just inducted as governor, and on the day of his taking the oath, he stood up and said, "If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not a brother or sister of mine, because Jesus is our brother and God is our Father, and the way to the Father is through Christ." And Dave, that really turned off a fair number of people. You got to admit, some people really are courageous in what they say, and they may make a significant impact. The lesson being this, we need to look at people's lives in aggregate. Now, if you take issue with something somebody did in their life, okay, now maybe there's some people who have a problem with what this young lady did, or what her parents did, or allowed her to do. Folks, you need to at least be gracious enough to understand that people's lives are viewed in aggregate. And there are hopefully other things involved in people's lives besides pageants. And that would be my encouragement as we leave this. I don't think that the pageant itself is of much value. Okay, I'm guessing that's probably come out of the discussion
today.
They
sell a lot of teeth whitening toothpaste, I bet.
Well, they may. But suffice it to say that what God wants is a life where we keep ourselves unspotted from the world, yes. And hopefully we're careful in how, where maybe in discouraging people towards a life of purity. Hopefully young ladies will be careful in the kinds of things they wear so that young men are not offended by an immodest dress or these sorts of things. And we can perhaps take some of these lessons out of this program. But what God is also looking for is that these young ladies would be excellent helpmates for their husbands, serve their children in the home as the Proverbs 31 woman did, but also look out for the needy and feed the fatherless and widow. That's what true religion is all about. That's how God looks at our lives. And we need to encourage those little homeschool girls that may not have won a pageant, but man, they wound up working in an orphanage with their husbands, feeding hundreds and hundreds of orphans over their lifetime. Or those little homeschool girls that grew up and adopted four special needs children and nursed them and cared for them and gave their lives for them over a lifetime. This is what God is looking for. This is the beauty of a meek and quiet spirit, of a heart and life that wants to give themselves for Jesus and for others. Folks, that's the real message today. So whether that's coming out of Patrick Henry College, whether that's coming out of the pageant, whether that's coming out of those that listen to our broadcast today, friends, that's what we're looking for. That's what Jesus is looking for. That's the bottom line here. Those that trust in Christ, love Christ, and would give their lives up for Christ. And for those needy, those orphans, those widows that really need to be ministered to. In fact, we're going to do an upcoming program on ministering to the single moms and orphans. Because that's what's important. Let's get back to what's important as we end today's program. Let's get back to the bottom line. James 1 and verse 27 through 28. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. I hope this has been inspiring for you. I hope it's illuminated you in some ways and prodded you on to thinking in terms of what the Bible says about everything that we do. You can interact with this program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.